Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I'm so excited about the message that God has given us today in His Word. Please don't touch that dial. If you're driving the interstate, I hope you drive just a little slower than the speed limit so you can stay in touch with WMAF a few more miles as we go to the Word of God to be enriched, to be instructed, to be inspired, to be encouraged today. God is such a gracious God. He has given us His Word. He sustained it by His Holy Spirit. And we're so happy to be part of that great company that are publishing the Word of God around the world. We are a little church here in Tampa. We're not a big church, and certainly not a mega church. Hallelujah. But we serve such a big and great, mighty God. He has opened such wonderful doors of influence down through the years. We just have a testimony to the fact that that it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. If you have a small ministry, don't you be discouraged. You just give your all for Jesus. That's all He's asking from us, is our all. Hallelujah. And He will bless it just like He did the poor boy's lunch and feed multitudes with it. I guarantee it because He promised it in His Word. I tell you today, amen, we are so excited about being here at part of the broadcast family of WMAF. If you know anyone who you believe that this broadcast and other ministers on this station and the format of this station itself, classic country, family friendly, classic gospel music, the quartets, the southern gospel, I mean, it's just a unique station, and it'll be a blessing if you let someone else know about it. They don't have to live within the broadcast area. All they have to do is have a computer connected to the World Wide Web, and if you type in the call letters of WMAF, just simply type in WMAF radio, take you straight to their homepage. In the upper right hand corner, you click on that, and what you're hearing in Madison 24/7 is being broadcast over the World Wide Web, and people can listen by computer. What a privilege it is to know that the gospel is going from Tampa to Madison in North Florida, and from Madison in North Florida to everywhere that the World Wide Web covers and people find out about it. If you want to be a media missionary, tell somebody about WMAF and this broadcast. Just drop them a note, send them an email if you have a computer on the web, and let them know about Let's Talk About Jesus and WMAF and other fine ministers that broadcast live right here on WMAF. Hallelujah. Well, today we want to give you our website as well if you'd like to know more about us as a ministry. We've been a ministry in good standing with the Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974. And we are going strong for Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And so we are celebrating, getting ready to celebrate our 36th year as pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated right here in Tampa. Our webpage is simply THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God Incorporated. THCOG is all you need to put on a search engine. It will take you to our website. There's another Holy Church of God in Texas, not affiliated with us, but Robert A. Venable is not the pastor of that one, so just scroll right on down till it says Welcome to the Holy Church of God. Click on that, Reverend Robert Venable, and it'll bring you to our website. No strings attached. Lots of sermons down through the years that you can download on subjects that I believe are vitally important to your spiritual life and direction, and will be it would just be a joy to have you come and visit our webpage. And so please do that. It would be a blessing to you, a blessing to us as well. Amen. But no strings attached, as I said. Our motive on here is to publish the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've been listening to this good gospel music. You hang around and see why these people are singing what they're singing. Praise God. I'm going to talk to you today about the white stone, the promise of privilege and intimacy out of the New Testament, out of that book of Revelation, the letter to the church of Pergamos, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. This is exciting, informative stuff. Please listen carefully. Read alone if you would like in your Bible today. Revelation 2 and verse 17. Jesus said, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Of all the promises to the overcomer in the Bible, and there are so many incentives to live victoriously and to be faithful to God all the way. But of all those promises to those who overcome, the promise of the white stone with a new name written is probably the most mysterious and spectacular of them all. This promise was given to those who overcome at the Church of Pergamos. As in other messages, Jesus issues a promise to the one who overcomes. In the context of the message to the church at Pergamum, the overcomer is the one who rejects this false teaching, who refuses to compromise, who resists getting entangled in the lifestyle of the Roman Empire. To this one, Jesus promises to give three things: hidden manna, a white stone, and a secret new name. Listen to this carefully. Before we talk about the privilege and intimacy of this scripture, let's talk about God's provision for us. Jesus said, I will give to them that eat, that overcome, to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna is literally of the manna, the hidden in the actual Greek. It is a restrictive attribute which defines the distinctive identity of the manna. With this construction, there's some emphasis on the hidden character of the manna. In the Old Testament, the manna stood for God's faithfulness to provide for and sustain His people. And I might add that He's faithful to do it even in our uncertain economic condition. I personally believe we're going to see more miracles in the lives of Christians, more supernatural provisions because of the circumstances we face. You may be out of work. Maybe your money is running so close it's about to run out. I don't know. I know we're approaching double-digit unemployment here in America. But I know God is faithful. I know that about the Lord. I love what David said as we talk about God's provision. He said, I'm young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You know, when there was no food in the wilderness for over 2 million people, as they took this great exodus out of Egypt, God supernaturally provided for them. God is a God of the supernatural. Not just back in Bible days. See, God is not just a God of those days. He's a God of these days too. I love what the Bible says about Him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Psalm 46 verse 1 declares a very present help in the time of trouble. For God to help us, He will have to supernaturally intervene. In the normal course of human affairs, by the way, that's one of the Webster's very brief, concise definitions of a miracle, a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. Every time we pray for God to answer any prayer that is prayed, it's going to require a miracle, a supernatural intervention. The days of miracles are not over because the days of praying and believing God for answers are not over. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to this carefully. This manna stood for God's faithfulness to provide for and sustain His people through the wilderness wanderings. In the place of the leeks, the melons, the garlic, the onions of their old life in Egypt, which is an apt picture of the world system around us. As a memorial to God's faithfulness, a portion of the manna was placed and thus hidden in the Ark of the Covenant. One of those things that was inside that holy Ark of the Covenant was the manna that God provided, the supernatural bread that fell from heaven. Exodus 16:32-34 and Hebrews 9:4 talks of this. One Bible scholar, Trench, calls our attention to the fact that it was after this manna was laid up in the ark that it obtained the name hidden. Manna was also called food from heaven in Psalm 78 and verse 24, and in John's Gospel, 6, verse 48 through 51, the Lord spoke of himself as the true bread from heaven that gives eternal life. In contrast with the manna in the Old Testament, he said, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died." But in John 6:49, he declared he was the true bread. That was only a type of what would be totally fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he would come. While the manna sustained their physical life for a time, it was only a picture of the one who would come and would give life, and that abundant and eternal. Hallelujah. From the use of manna in Scripture and from the nature of the promises to the overcomer, I would suggest there's a twofold meaning and application here of this term, hidden manna. It has a present meaning or application. It refers to the sufficiency of the person and work of Jesus Christ as he's revealed in the Word, which the world does not know or see, since the natural man does not see or discern the things of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Therefore, believers need to daily feed upon his life in the Word of God for daily sustenance and blessing. You can just clearly understand here the place of God's Word in your devotional life, in your spiritual life. Amen. This is not just instructive words on a page, holy as they are, to be received simply by the intellect. There's something for your inward man here in the Word of God. I love what the Old Testament prophet said, "Thy words were found, I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Hallelujah. Oh, listen, if you've got a preacher that preaches the Word, back him up. Show up on Sunday. Get your soul fed. Encourage your minister. Hallelujah. We're in the last days, and the Bible was very clear that it would be difficult to follow Jesus when the whole world seems to be flowing against everything that Jesus taught and stood for. But friend of mine, in God's house, when the Word of God comes forth and the worship of God goes up, I want you to know there is sustaining power for everyone of God's children. You know, we need to circle the wagons in these days like the old West. Hallelujah. We're under attack spiritually, mentally. I want you to know there's victory in Jesus and there's power in unity. When we gather around the Word of God and we get in one mind and one accord and we get our spiritual footing under us, God has an outpouring of mighty, reviving, refreshing power. Praise God. This Word is quick and powerful, friend, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive and full of power and potential. This and this alone can make us fruitful believers and provide true happiness and stability of life, something which the allurements of the world simply cannot give. You know, the devil promises so much, but he can't deliver. He promises satisfaction in sin. I've never seen a truly happy, satisfied sinner in my life. They asked Michael Jackson recently, someone close to him, quoted on CNN, "Michael, are you happy?" He said, "I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied." Friend, that's a contradiction, because it's impossible to be happy and not to be satisfied. But Jesus talked about that would truly satisfy and therefore bring true happiness. He talked about living water, that if we would drink of that water, we would never thirst again. Oh yes, we would be hungry for more of Jesus, but we would never have that dissatisfied, unfulfilled emptiness again. I don't know if Billy Graham coined this phrase or just quoted someone, but I remember him saying on one occasion, there is a God-shaped vacuum within every man and woman on this planet, and only God can fill that empty place. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm so happy with the wife of my youth. We've been married for 46 years. We're headed towards 47 years of happy marriage. I'm not like the Three Stooges episode where the Three Stooges are census takers. They come to a door and a man answers the door and they say, "Sir, are you married or are you happy?" In Christ, it's possible to be happy and married, to be happily married. You know why? Because I'm so fulfilled and my wife is so fulfilled in our life and walk with Jesus. We do not put undue expectations or pressures on one another. Instead of demanding so much from one another, we can be giving to one another. And what a difference it makes in a marriage when we help each other, we sow into one another. What a joy it is. Hallelujah. To report to you that you can be married and happy after 46 years. Praise God for what Jesus offers and delivers on. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad to declare unto you today a Jesus who makes promises and keeps promises. And part of the keeping of that promise is given us the true manna and the hidden manna. Praise the Lord. It has a future meaning as well. The promise of manna looked forward to a greater capacity to enjoy all the blessings of the glories of the kingdom in the presence of Jesus Christ that would come to the overcomer who refused to eat the things that were sacrificed to idols. In order to overcome the compromise and deception of the last days, the believer needs a relationship with Jesus that is both sustaining and satisfying. Sustaining and satisfying. Friend, the greatest buffer against temptation is not just saying no. Yes, we should resist the devil. Yes, we should refuse Satan's offers to us to lead us to sin. But in order to do that effectively, we need more than just authority over the devil. We need to have a wonderful, sustained life in Jesus that satisfies the deepest longings of our soul. Praise God. As long as my wife and I find fulfillment in one another, the devil can't send someone along to tear us apart. It's that simple. As long as what I'm feasting on in Christ, hallelujah, amen. Some people think you have to live a whole life of fasting when you come to God. I want to remind you today that there's more feasting in the Old Testament than there was fasting. Amen. God celebrates life when somebody gets saved. There is a celebration where the fatted calf is killed and people come together to celebrate around a celebratory meal. Praise God. I want you to know that communion is representative of a celebratory meal where we celebrate as we remember, recall, and give thanks for what Jesus has done for us at the cross and what it's going to mean to us throughout all eternity. We need to partake of Jesus spiritually, not just go to church, but go to church to grow in the Lord and to find our fulfillment in Him. So that when Satan tempts us, we can say, you know something, it is so easy to say no to you because I am so fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, manna. What is it? That's what that word meant. What is it? They had never seen anything like this. God supernaturally providing with bread from heaven. So when they saw it, they said, "What is it?" In one word in the language, and it meant manna. Manna. What is it? I'll read that to you from Exodus 16:15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "It is manna." For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." You see, the people in Pergamos were idolaters. They worshipped in religions that thrived on secrets and mysteries. The early Christians were excluded from the secrets and mysteries. Jesus said, "You don't need their secrets. Walk with me, and I'll take you into a special place and feed you with something the world knows nothing about." The saints of God might be excluded from many things in this world, but we have a place we can go. we can enter into His sanctuary, hide in His pavilion. When we are there, we'll feed on delicacies from the Word of God that the world cannot imagine or duplicate. He has some secret things hidden away just for His children. Oh, the Bible said in, I think it's Jeremiah 33:3, He said, "Call upon me. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things. Praise God that you know not." God is a God of great mystery, but He's also a God of great revelation. You know, the Bible said in the New Testament, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in to the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him." Most commonly, we hear this at a funeral, talking about heaven and the glories and just the grandeur of that place that we cannot imagine beyond our wildest dreams. And there is an application of that scripture to the future, but there is an application of that scripture to the here and now. Remember, the book of Revelation, as well as the Bible, is a book, is an unveiling, opening something to you and I as believers that the world cannot comprehend, appreciate, or appropriate until they come to Christ. They don't know what we're doing in a church. They don't know what we get out of it. They don't know why we're there. They think we're just fulfilling some religious obligation. We're going to a feast every Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your pastor is going to bring a mighty banquet from the pulpit to the pew. Praise God. If he's a preacher of the Word, that's exactly what's going to happen. When you learn to feast on the Word of God, hallelujah, be easy to fast from what the world is offering you. Let me say that again. You start feasting on God and His Word through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It's easy to fast the things that the world is offering you and say no to them. You don't need them, praise God, to be fulfilled and to be happy and to be victorious and to walk in a relationship with God that is so satisfying and therefore sanctifying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, the world and those in it have to search for ever deepening experiences. We find those things in our relationship with our God and with our Savior, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this scripture again. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, they go to the table of sin and eat their fill. The true saint of God is content to be alone with his Lord in his tabernacle, feeding on his Word and his presence. Psalm 127:1-5 talks about that if you want to read that for a personal reference. He promises his people a place of escape and refreshment, even during the most difficult of times. I'm going to go ahead and read from Psalm 127. Listen to it. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me and eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell." They came to eat up my flesh, but they stumbled and they fell. "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me and shall set me upon a rock." God will establish you. He wants to establish you. He wants to get you off the roller coaster of one day walking in victory and the other day walking in defeat. He wants you to find victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And He wants to establish you. I love the scripture about Him establishing us through a process where He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then it says, and thou shalt be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. God not only saves us, He wants to establish us in the faith, keep us from the evil one. Oh, friend, today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and what has been keeping you back from coming to know Him is that you have honestly said, I can't live the Christian life. You know, probably more honest words were never spoken. And I appreciate your honesty. God appreciates your honesty. He knows your heart of hearts. He knows you want to be real. And He knows possibly you may even want to be right with Him. But you don't feel you can live the life, so you're not going to play the church game that some people play. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. There is a reality. There is an authenticity. There are real Christians, and there's a real God, and there's a real Christian life that satisfies and sustains us. There's real power to overcome our own fleshly tendencies. Things that you can't break and I can't break. You know what the Bible said, friend? It said nothing is impossible with God. And it goes on to say, and nothing is impossible to him that believeth. In other words, if we will put our trust in the Lord, there is no giant that cannot and will not fall. There is no barrier that cannot be broken. You may feel like you're in a prison of doubt, prison of fear, a prison of habit, a prison of sin that you can't break. But someone can break you out of that prison if you want to be free. And His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He doesn't ask you to bust out on your own. The anointing's on Him to bust you out, friend. The Bible said that Jesus said of Himself, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He's anointed me. He's supernaturally empowered me, endued me with power for this purpose, to set the captive free. Hallelujah. You can be free today because the Lord will set you free. The Bible goes on to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That means truly free. I may be speaking to someone that is behind bars. Now, you may be listening from a prison cell. I want you to know something on a laptop, but I'm telling you, you can be free today. You can be free in Christ today. There are people out here that are not in a prison cell. They're not free. They're bound to this habit. They're bound to that sin. But when Jesus makes you free, you can be behind bars and be free. Praise God, because you are free indeed. You are truly and really free. I challenge you today, if you don't know the Lord is your Savior, don't try to show Him that you can live right first. Show Him the desire to live right in your heart. Invite Jesus into your life. Repent of your sins. He will give you the power to do what you could never do. And He will give you not only the power, He will give you the new desire. He will give you a new bent toward righteousness in your heart. And He'll give you living water, friend. You won't ever thirst again except for more of Him. And that's the good kind. It's not an unsatisfying feeling. It's just saying, this is so good, I want more of it. You remember the song, amen, I want more of it, the old country song. Praise God. It's a true song. We could take that and Christianize that song. Amen. I love it. I love it. I want more of it. Not because I'm dissatisfied, but because I'm so satisfied, only He and more of Him can keep me that way. Praise God. If you don't know Him, would you invite Him into your heart and in your life today? And if you do know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you go to church Sunday with a hungry heart? I believe God will just pour it through your minister, because I've experienced it. I have preached when people were not hungry, and I delivered the message, but I didn't feel it finding its target. I didn't feel the flow of the mighty Holy Spirit. But oh, I preached to those that were hungry, and I felt God's Spirit rise up and flow out through the Word of God. Today, friend, we love you so much. Please come back next week, and let's continue to feast on the Word of God. Let's find that hidden manna that God offers us to help us overcome, and gives us when we overcome. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.